Good evening from Washington. I'm Truman Taylor, the name of our program. The senators respond with Senator John Chafee, a Republican from Rhode Island, and Senator Edward Kennedy, a Democrat from Massachusetts. We're here with you every third Saturday at this time on Channel 6, answering not my questions but yours. And the way the program goes, if you're just joining us, this is our second program. The questions are all from yours. And if you have a question which you'd like to put to either Senator Kennedy or to Senator Chafee, what I would ask you to do right now, and we'll be telling you about this a bit later in the program, is to send it to me, Truman Taylor, care of WTEV, Providence, Rhode Island, or New Bedford, Massachusetts. Either address will do. And without further ado, let's get to some of the questions that have come in since our last program. And one which many people asked pertains to both senators, but I chose one from a Mrs. William Brogan, Senator Chafee, who lives in Charlestown, Rhode Island. She addressed it to you, she said, because you're her senator, but she said that both of you men face the same problem. There has been a case on the court calendar, she says, since January of 1975 regarding the claim of the Narragansett Indian Tribe Incorporated against many property owners in the Charlestown area. She says that no homes or property can be sold there because in this 3,200-acre area, mortgages are frowned upon by the various banks. They look with a jaundiced eye upon all of Charlestown. The same, Senator Kennedy, of course, holds true in Mashpee, Massachusetts. And the question is, what have you done individually, I guess, of substance to alleviate this situation?
Well, Truman, I'm very aware of the difficulties that Charleston people have had. Some of them have come to visit me on the situation, and it was our hope that Mr. Gunter would include the Charleston, Rhode Island area in his study that he's doing for the president. However, he chose not to include the Rhode Island situation. He's sticking solely with Maine, and I guess he's doing Massachusetts too. We're looking forward to his report and what he has to say in that report, and I think that will give some kind of a clue as to what the procedure will be, both in the courts and the settlement, should the federal government choose to do so, on the federal level on the Rhode Island situation. So, to sum it up, we're really waiting to see what Justice Gunter has to report.
I think, Senator Kennedy, what Mrs. Brogan is really asking is something that Senator Brooke has talked about, and that is getting some sort of mortgage insurance so that if you own a home in one of these disputed areas, you can sell it because there is a title guarantee. What have you done?
Well, that is, I introduced the amendment with Senator Brooke, and we were able to get that successfully accepted and passed. It's an interim, and it's a temporary measure. And it will help provide some relief for those in the Mashpee areas who are being hard-pressed, particularly the elderly people and people who have difficulty in meeting mortgage payments that have been impacted adversely because of loss of employment or because of the economic decline within the community. These are tough constitutional issues. They run back to as old as our nation is. I think people are interested in justice in terms of those people, the Indians and the Indian families, and yet there's a justice on the other side for people who have acquired title to homes who had absolutely no understanding or awareness that there was a potential cloud on title. And we have attempted to work together, those of us in New England, to try and see if this couldn't be resolved in a way that is going to be satisfactory to those that have potential claims, as well as within those in local communities. Now, Judge, the president, we communicated with the president. He asked those of us in New England to work with Judge Gunter, who is a distinguished jurist in Georgia that has the president's confidence. And his attention has been primarily towards the Maine situation, which is the most extensive. But the people in our parts of the country, whether it's in Rhode Island or down in Mashpee, feel just as deeply, and because it's obviously their homes. I'm hopeful that we can see some kind of an adjustment and some kind of settlement. I think that ultimately is obviously in the interests of both parties. But we cannot superimpose it. We are basically legislators. What is recommended may very well come to the Congress, and unless there is going to be a real settlement, I suppose it's going to be challenged by the different parties, which is going to mean long, protracted litigation in the future. So what we can take temporary measures, and we can try and see if we create the climate and atmosphere to bring the parties together. But we cannot, as legislators, superimpose a solution because it would just be challenged in the court by each of the parties, and that is not what we want, is prolonged indefiniteness and litigation.
Good. And I'm sorry that I attributed the mortgage title insurance to Senator
Brook. I work very closely. We're working closely with Senator Brook, Senator Creasy, with the main senators, and this is something, it's a common issue in question. It's primarily related just pretty much to the New England area, not so much to the lands in the western part of the state. And all of us are interested in equity on that, and all of us are enormously impressed at the hardships that are being felt by the people, and I'm sure in Rhode Island and in Mashpee areas. But I'm hopeful that we can, that we can bring about some resolution. One of the interesting factors, of course, is that the Indian groups in the Mashpee area have indicated that they do not want to take the homes of people in those areas. They're prepared to indicate that that is not their desire. There ought to be a source of some relief to the people in the Mashpee area, understanding that there are other questions of title and other questions of controversy, but I think that this is of some importance.
Here's a question, Senator Chafee, that comes from a Massachusetts viewer of the program from Brockton. The question is addressed to you. Why won't the Congress give the President the Consumer Protection Agency he wants? Maybe she feels that's a Republican position.
Well, it hasn't come to the floor yet of the Senate, and of course the Democrats control all the committees and they control all the flow of the legislation. It seems curious to me as to why they want a Consumer Protection Agency. Is there some suggestion that the multitude of agencies that are set up, the FCC, the FTC, the I think there's some 39 of such agencies, Federal Trade Commission, for example. If you read the charters of every one of those organizations, it starts off for the protection of the public. Now, if these agencies aren't protecting the public within their chosen delegated areas, then let's get rid of them. But there's been no suggestion of getting rid of them. And I'm a co-sponsor, and I believe Senator Kennedy also is, of legislation, so-called sunset legislation, some 59 senators sponsored this, which would make all these agencies come up for a review. And if they're not doing a job, either get rid of them or get the people in there that will do the job. Now, this so-called Consumer Advocacy Agency is a curious thing because as the bill is finally, as it's percolated around, everybody's cut things out of it. So it doesn't deal with farmers. If you go into a grocery store and you buy a product and you think the price of the Wheaties is too much, you can complain down the line, but you can't complain about anything the farmers did in connection with it. You can't complain anything that labor might have had to do with it. So they've cut out great areas of complaint in this so-called consumer agency. It's a classic example, in my judgment, of the government stepping into one more area, they're starting with a modest budget, it's only going to cost, $10 or $12 million the first year. Well, we all know that that'll escalate, just like all other government agencies do. It'll either escalate or it won't do its job, because it's been given a tremendous assignment under the statute as proposed. So I think it's one thing we can do without. Let's get the currently existing agencies, all these, the ones I mentioned, to do their job, and if they're not doing their job, let's get rid of the people in them and have them do their job.
Senator Kennedy?
Well, I have a somewhat different view than Senator Chafee. First of all, I would agree with him with regards to the basic concept of sunset legislation, the challenge, the existence of whether we're talking about administrative agencies or pieces of legislation or tax expenditures to require the Congress to rethink and re-justify actions that are taken and we're like in that particular area, and I would do so with regards to the Consumer Protection Agency. But let me make just three rather brief points. In the federal structure, there are a number of agencies which have advocates. The farmers have advocates in terms of the Department of Agriculture. Labor has advocates in the Department of Labor. the businessmen have advocates in the Commerce Department and in the Small Business Administration. But there is no precise advocacy for the consumer with all the implications that take place with regards to their health and well-being and their safety. The idea is to try and give at least some focus and some attention, some structure, some point of advocacy within various regulatory decisions, rulemaking, and the rest, for the voice of the consumer. And I support that. I think that's important. Now you can say, well, why is it important if we have regulatory agencies that are supposed to deal with that? The fact of the matter is that the regulatory agencies cannot be both advocates and adjudicators in terms of various decisions. They are trying to make decisions on various public policy questions that are presented to them. And on the one hand, it's a completely, I think, inconsistent to think that they can be advocating the consumer's kind of interest and then trying to balance that in terms of the public's kind of interest, the private interest. And make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Washington is just a right with powerful, very special interests. And they are operating in terms of those regulatory agencies. And so you get a heavy pulling and hauling by special interests that have important economic considerations which involve billions and billions of dollars. And you have the regulators who are trying to adjust to these various factors. And it seems to me that the regulators, the commissioners, need the strong, articulate, persistent interest of the consumer. Final point that I would make is this. I think to a great extent that would hope that we'd have an upgrading of people that would serve in the regulatory agencies. But basically, they're not generally in tune with what's happening out on Main Street, USA. They're down here. You need expertise. You need knowledgeable people in these various agencies. They have to, if you're going to deal with the airlines, they have to understand the airline industry. They have to have some kind of experience there so that they can make important judgments. But they're not out in the street listening to people, understanding people's needs, and rubbing shoulders with them. And it seems to me to have some group that is attempting to bring that kind of concern into decision-making is of use and value. And I support the agency. Now, with regards to the procedures of it, we're facing a filibuster in the Senate. And we've seen that over the period, the last three times it's come up before the United States Senate. And the leadership has made a decision that since it hadn't passed the House, that when it passed the House, that the Senate will face that particular issue. And it's a question in terms of timeliness, but I support the agency.
Well, no one can disagree with what you said, Senator Chafee, about someone having to do a job, if not getting rid of them. Senator Kennedy's argument seems rather strong that a consumer should have a central place to go. If he's got a bum car, there should be somebody, one ombudsman, so to speak, he could call up.
First of all, I'd hope that his senators and representatives would act as ombudsman for them, and we're the people, we're there to serve the citizens of our respective states, and happy to do so. Within each of these agencies that I mentioned, there's some 39 of them, they have appointed a consumer advocate, even though they themselves, the commissioners, are meant to represent the consumer, the public, and I'm not quite clear the difference between the public and the consumer. It seems to me that their goals are the same, but even carrying it further, within these various agencies, there is a consumer representative. Now, as for the argument that these commissioners are isolated in Washington and thus somehow on out in the main street, where do you think this agency is going to be located? They're going to be right here in Washington, and they'll be just like all the rest of them. They'll get themselves a great big headquarters, a big building, a mammoth staff, and, if there's one thing we all learned in the campaigns we've been through is, and how'd the president get elected? It was on this theme. Slow things down in Washington. Washington is just reaching out and grabbing everywhere. And as you know, the president ran against the bureaucracy in Washington. And so I find it rather ironical that the president is supporting this act, which is just one more layer on top of all the other layers that exist. And I kind of think the taxpayer deserves a break. And let's spend a little less money down in Washington, D.C.
But just on that, you can take the decisions that are being made by the Federal Power Commission are going to involve $10 to $20 billion annually in terms of consumers' interest. I mean, when you're balancing, and particularly for those of us in the on the Northeast, about whether you're going to in terms of natural gas, where the pipeline's going to come, that's going to mean hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of not only this year, but for our children's children on that. Are those particular interests being actually represented? Or are the big boys having their sway? And the fact of the matter is, in looking at regulatory agencies, and I've been chairman of the Administrative Practices Committee of the Judiciary Committee for 10 years, and we've done extensive review of those governmental agencies, they're effectively dramatically influenced. I caution against control, but dramatically influenced by the special interest groups which they regulate. And any
indictment of the system.
It might be
that they have to be clean about them. They are there to represent the public and to say in a guarded way that they're controlled by the big boys, the big interests, on the Federal Power Commission or the Federal Communications Commission.
The ICC. Well, now, John,
clean them out.
Oh, well,
and
it's nice to say
them.
Clean them out.
Well,
but the Congress can do it. The Congress is unwilling to accept those particular challenges, and that's tied on into campaign financing of it. I mean, you can take in terms of the Civil Aeronautics Board, if you get an effective kinds of reductions of federal presence in terms of greater competition, you get greater kind of reduction of costs in that, can save the consumer $1.5 billion a year. Now, the fact of the matter is, the major airlines like to deal with a few bureaucrats. The few bureaucrats feel more comfortable dealing with the major airlines, and the coziness builds up in terms of these relationships. Now, I deplore that. Senator Chafee deplores it. But that happens to be the fact. That's nice, but we're talking about the real world of administrative agencies for 40 years. I know you don't like it, I don't like it, but that happens to be, and I hope with you down here it all changed, John. But the fact of the matter, this is what we're dealing with today. That's what we're dealing with, these agencies for 40 years. And you're either going to try and insist and ensure that you're going to try and open them up I don't think that the consumer protection agency is going to resolve the problem, but I think what it can do is ensure, sensitize these various agencies and bring this kind of information when it is not being looked into by the various agencies, and then the Congress can probably take more greater steps. But anybody that doesn't think that the major interest in terms of the ICC is not in terms of truckers and the influence of the Teamster Union, it just doesn't understand it. Now, I wish it was a different situation, but that's the reality, and the question is how you can change it. And you can't throw the system out, the baby with the bathwater. You can't throw the system completely out, but what you can do is to try and see where meaningful change can take place.
Well, we can beat this man all day, a system isn't working, so you add one more layer of government on top of it, and then I suppose we'll have to have somebody watching the Consumer Protection Agency and the cops. Actually, I think even Ralph Nader has criticized this proposal.
He supports, strong supporter of it.
I know that he lashed out at the, never mind, we won't, on with your next question.
The interesting thing in terms of the exemptions, of course, the broadcasters, they're exempt in terms of the
everybody's exempt under the
No, but I mean, except, you know, the, and so,
and they're very powerful, Truman, as you well know. And as far as the not being able to get a cheap airplane flight, I think the fact that we'll be able to fly to Europe and back for $280 or whatever.
You know how long that application was up before the White House? Not the CAB, for 10 years. Laker Airways. Teddy Laker. What he wants to do is fill them up and fly them over there. But that has only been as the result, not of the CAB. Because for 10 years that application, Ed Daly has been trying to fly transcontinental in this for $87. He's had an application for 10 years on that, and the CAB wouldn't even hear the application on it. Now that happens to be in the interest of the consumer. And I'd like somebody
in the CAB has a consumer representative there.
And you want to know, they've got three people working on it, and they appointed them 3 years ago, and it was after the start of a hearing in the United States Senate. I mean, our committee did 2.5 years investigations into the CAB. We did similar investigations in the FDA and the Food and Drug Administration. I believe that there's a, let's get on another question.
Okay, I think probably the solution to the whole thing is to change administrations down here.
We just changed one, John. And,
and you're going to work on that starting now.
All right, go to it.
I think, in all seriousness, though, that the conversation here about a consumer protection agency is very indicative and representative of the fact that we've had a lot of questions on it. I just happened to pick that one from Brockton at random, but there were several. And I would guess in future programs there'll be several more. Here's one for, it was addressed to either senator from Milton Cooper of Middletown, Rhode Island. Maybe we can get some discussion going on this. If there is truly an energy shortage, why doesn't the Congress and the administration go after the greatest gas users of all, private boats and yachts, instead of penalizing auto owners whose cars are a necessity? Senator Kennedy?
Well, I believe the Ways and Means in the last week raised substantially the cost for gasoline in the pleasure boat area. I'd certainly support that. I think they made some adjustment also in terms of the aviation gasoline. So I think there'll be some effort on that, and I would certainly support it. I don't quite frankly would agree with the basic assumption on it in terms of trying to, and I have real reservations in terms of the gasoline tax in any event. I think we could be much more effective in mandating greater miles per gallon for automobiles in the country and save a great deal more than we could in terms of the gasoline tax. Basically, with the gasoline tax, you're permitting wealthier people to buy their way out of the energy crisis. And I think that that's basically wrong. So I would, I think there are, we can talk about the energy crisis, but I think those are really along the fringes of it. I mean, you could, the amount of energy that's consumed just in pleasure boat or pleasure aircraft is really a small part of it. But the Ways and Means Committee has steeped up the tax for it, and I'd certainly support it. But there's some rather important other things that can be done in terms of energy that are going to have an important impact in terms of the ability of business to do business in New England and also for the consumer, particularly the home heating oil consumer, that I'd be glad to get into when you want it.
I suppose the premise then is wrong, or at least you say it's wrong, that the greatest gas guzzlers of all the boats, that really isn't the case. Is that?
I would question whether that's a serious percentage of the energy used nationally, and I agree with Ted that I think that they should step up and be forced to bear their share of the burden. But I think that you're going to see with the programs that come along, the Senate's going to devote all September to working on energy matters, and I think you'll see a great thrust toward helping in the energy problems or trying to solve the energy crisis. And I believe it is a real crisis this country faces in connection with energy, and I think you'll see hopefully some good solutions.
This next question also has to do with energy, nuclear energy, and again, it's one that's addressed to either of you. This one from Dorothy Sherman of Providence, and she wants to know, what's the answer to the disposal of nuclear waste? There has never been a safe method of disposal. Some of its worldwide health dangers are cancer, genetic defects in unborn babies, contamination of vegetation, radiation in cow's milk, she says, and pollution of the air. Why is the government so quiet on this issue and seemingly unworried?
Oh, I don't think the government's unworried about it. My reservations on the Charleston plant, which is the one I get asked about so much, are based solely on this problem. What do you do with the waste? And the classic solution is you put them in some barrel, a cement barrel, and in a salt mine. But when you're dealing with something that reaches a half-life in 250,000 years, obviously it's a deadly serious matter. And it isn't just the waste that we think of that come from the equipment itself, but you have the overalls the men where every time they use them, they've got to scrap that, so you've got all kinds of fringe waste that you wouldn't think of in connection with the plutonium itself. Steps are being suggested on disposal. I understand in Germany they do use the salt mine method. In this country, a lot of thought and effort are being given to it, but I find that the biggest single reason that I have reservations about the entire nuclear energy approach.
You feel we should wait until a safe way?
Well, I just wish we had a better way of getting rid of the waste. Now, this Clinch River proposal, which I voted against, is meant in some way to reprocess the plutonium, and it does, but still there's waste from that, so that's not a complete solution. Of course, that doesn't handle the overall and the other associated equipment that goes with it.
I'd say that there's the two problems. One, I think Senator Chafee has expressed as well my views about the concern about how you're going to deal with the waste. The second is not only for the very excellent statement and comment that she made with regards to the dangers, but also is the whole issue of nuclear proliferation with its implications for terrorist activity and the spread of nuclear weapons around the world and the dangers of nuclear accident and nuclear holocaust, nuclear war. And this is an extremely serious issue, a question President Carter is attempting to influence the Federal Republic of Germany from not selling to the Brazilians. A number of the countries are moving ahead with fast breeders. This is what the United States is trying to provide, you know, some leadership to halt that. The other countries say, well, the United States has the technology in terms of either fast breeder, which even makes more waste than the light water reactors. And this is, and they say, well, it's nice for you in the United States to try and caution about this, but the fact is you've got the technology, you've got the expertise, you're moving ahead, and we want to be able to play in the same ballpark in it. But I would say, one, it is of enormous importance and consequence. We had a very extensive debate in the Senate in the last several days in terms of Clinch River, which is a breeder reactor, which even makes more, it takes the waste and makes it even more complex because it makes more plutonium. And the technological problems have not been resolved. And I think the leading reasons for extreme caution in this area, primarily with regard to the breeder reactor, which is the most dangerous, and the reprocessing of plutonium. We have sufficient uranium, I believe, in this country now, for the year 2000, to move ahead with light water reactors in terms of nuclear power. So we don't have to get into the reprocessing, which means more waste, more storage problems, and all the rest. And so I would agree, I voted with those that cautioned about Clinch River, which of course is an enormously costly plant as well. I mean, we're talking about probably $2 billion of dollars.
We are, as they say on television, out of time. And I have more questions, but they'll just have to wait until three Saturdays from now, and hopefully we'll...
Do more Rhode Islanders write than Massachusetts people? Or
we can change that.
Speaking of writing, I would like to just take the final few seconds to invite you, if you have a question, to send it to us. Send it to me, Truman Taylor, WTEV, Providence, Rhode Island, or New Bedford, Massachusetts. Either address will do. And we'll see you 3 weeks from this Saturday at the same time here on The Senators Respond with Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts and Senator John Chafee of Rhode Island. I'm Truman Taylor. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow.